morning tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and glad that you've made it out. Let's all stand and we'll sing Victory in Jesus. Brother Doug wasn't feeling good tonight. His teeth, his mouth is killing him. And so we need to pray for Brother Doug. And when you have toothache pain and your jaw is swollen, it is painful. But thank God we have Victory in Jesus. I love this song. All right, let's sing all three verses.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me, yeah, I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen. Thank God for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ tonight. And I'm going to be preaching on that, thank God for the victory that we have in Christ. We are on the winning side. Hallelujah. And greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. Amen. And hallelujah. One day the victory is going to be realized. I know we're not in the sweet by and by. We're in the nasty now and now. But hallelujah, one day the victory will be complete, when Jesus comes and calls us away to be with Him in heaven forever. Amen. So page 410, turn on over there and we'll sing Faith is the Victory, the first, the second, and the last.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle where the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the flowing veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind breath swept o'er on every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will conquer over of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Amen. And hallelujah, our faith is the victory. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the service. Father, we are so thankful for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And so many times, Lord, it seems that we're not on the winning side, but we are on the winning side. And sometimes it doesn't seem that the battle's going our way, but God, it is going our way. And God, we're going to realize that one day in a real way when we're with you forever. I pray that God, that you just would bless all that are being done tonight in the house of God. Bless the people of God. Speak to the hearts of those who are listening, and God will give you the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. You may be seated. It is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And we just want to continue to pray for the nation. If you've watched anything, what's going on all across the country in the big cities, it's sad to see the destruction of property, the loss of life, the senseless brutality that's taken place. And I'll have some things to say about that later. But, you know, that just testifies of how people, their lack of Jesus Christ in their life. Amen. Because the gospel makes you love one another. Amen. And when you have Christ inside you, you're not filled with hatred and bitterness and misery and destruction. And, you know, it's so sad that so much of our population, you know, a nation without God, this is the result of it. And it's sad. In godless places, how sad it is where Christianity has lost its influence. And you see the result of it, what's taken place. And because it's not Christian people that are doing this kind of stuff. It's people that are filled with hate and filled with the devil. And how sad it is. And we need to pray for our nation, no doubt about it. Pray for our president, pray for our governors, pray for our weak-kneed leaders in these places, that they'll have courage to do the right thing. And God help us pray for those police officers. You know, 99% of the police officers are good and do what's right. There's bad apples in anything. Are there not bad apples in the ministry? There are bad apples in the ministry. There are bad apples in the schools. Teachers who shouldn't be there, bad apples. There's bad apples in politicians. There's a whole lot more bad apple percentage-wise than politicians, but there's bad apples. I don't care where you go in life, there are bad apples. And those people do not represent the whole of this nation. And it is sad. And even those people rioting do not represent the whole of this nation. That is a very small percentage that is rioting. And they make the whole black race look bad. They do. And it's sad because most black people are decent people. Most white people are decent people. Most Mexican people are decent people. I don't care what ethnicity you claim, most of them are decent people. It's those few that are bad who try and represent the whole. And it is sad because of how bad their representation is. And you know, God help us. We need to stand against this kind of thing and stand up for right and righteousness. And we need to call it as it is. Wrong is wrong. I don't care who's doing it. Didn't I say what that police officer did was wrong? It was wrong. You know what the sad thing is? He's been doing this stuff for the last 12 years. And he has 5 or 6 complaints against him for the same thing. And if you read anything, he worked in the same nightclub as a bouncer with this guy and didn't like him. This was personal, what he did there. And you think about some of this stuff for a minute, and it is sad. It is sad. Some things are just wrong, and call it as it is. Wrong is wrong no matter who's doing it. But we live in a crazy nation when people can't call out wrong anymore and can't be honest about it. And I'd call out wrong no matter who was doing it. But, you know, pray for our nation, you know. And I'm glad that we didn't have any of that stuff where, you know, we don't have. Well, that's not going on where we are. And God, you know, God help us. You know, Christian people ought to know how to act. They should. They should know how to act and represent Jesus Christ in the right way, because God is not in any of this mess that's taking place. No one convinced me otherwise. And God help our nation, no doubt about it. We do want to pray. The baby's on its way. Baby's here. Praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. All right. So, yeah, I hear you. Well, baby Pascarella's here, so praise the Lord. We're glad baby Pascarella made it. We're rejoicing in that. Glory to God. Pray for Brother Doug. He had a terrible, terrible toothache. He's got 3 teeth broke off at the gum. And it finally has come to fruition. And he is writhing in pain and no remedy until Wednesday. So I was praying for him tonight. I said, Lord, you can, God, your grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. Did I preach on that this morning? I said, God, you could take some of this pain away. God can do it. There was a man in Trinidad. He had no means. And he showed me his mouth. And I said, well, I said, you're kidding me. Every tooth in his mouth and his molars, top and bottom, were completely rotted away, but they were still there. And I said, you're not in pain? He said, Brother Chris, to be honest with you, I didn't have any money. I can't go to the, there's no way I can go to the doctor. They won't take care of this. He said, I just went home and prayed and asked Jesus to take care of it, and he did. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. I'm telling you, you got 4 jaw teeth on, you got 3 on each, is it 4 on each side on the on each side? So you got 8, you got 16 teeth, and they're completely gone and you have no pain. That is God. Just the fact that he's alive is God. Because rotten teeth can destroy your heart valves. Abscess teeth destroy your heart valves. Even that he was alive was a miracle of God. And I said, don't tell me God's not real. Don't tell me God can't do things. You know when God works miracles? When you need them. God works miracles when you need them. You know why we don't see as many miracles in America today? Because we have medicine. And we have the means to take care of the problem. But I guarantee you in third world nations, God is still performing miracles like you wouldn't believe. Because they don't have any remedy for their problem, and all they have is God. Amen. That's the truth. And I've seen it over and over where God did miracles. And God's a miracle-working God. Thank God that He is. And thank God that we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's just pray. The Lord will continue to work and move. Let's continue to pray for our shut-ins. Continue to pray for folks as they're trying to make decisions. You know, I said this morning, remember, when we didn't really need to be afraid at the beginning of this because we didn't have any cases. Now we have a lot of cases. And it's going to spread. But remember, keep in perspective. And I'm going to say it over and over. Why? Because I want everybody to remember this. 99% of the people are not going to be affected in one way. 99% of the people are going to be asymptomatic. A small percentage is going to be affected. And those are people that are over 65 with underlying conditions, people under 65 that have underlying conditions. And that is, if you're sick and you're under 65, it's really going to affect you. If you're sick and you're over 65, it's really going to affect you. 80% of the people have died over 65, but most of them were sick and in a failing health condition. What do you mean by that? They were already in the dying process, and they just finished them off. And so, again, you know, people that are taking biologics, people that are taking things that sort of suppress their immune system, they are highly, highly susceptible to dying from this coronavirus. And, you know, some of these things are just, it is what it is. And so, but for the most of us, there's not going to be any problem. And so you say, well, Brother Chris, why are we being careful? We're being careful for those who are in a high percentage of dying. We're being careful for them. And we're going to continue to be careful. And so because we don't want to spread the virus to people that it'll kill. Amen. And that's why we're being careful. And so but, you know, we'll see how it all pans out. By this time next year, everything will be completely different. It will be. And we'll be through it. And we won't have all this cautiousness that we're having right now. But for now, we're having it and we're making the best of it. And we're going to continue to do that. So just pray for our seniors that have underlying conditions. Pray for those folks that are susceptible, really susceptible to this virus. And do what you can to keep your family safe and to keep your loved ones safe and not spread this thing. You know, do the best you can with what's taking place here. And God help us that He'll take care of the rest of it. You'll notice our faith promise thermometer. We ended the year at 66,500. I'm praising the Lord for that. We didn't make our 70,000, but, you know, we're only 3,500 away from it. And the Lord, you know, He blessed in spite of all that. And 16,000 people saved this year. I mean, from June 1st to May 31st, 16,000 people saved as a result of our missionaries' efforts. And we are rejoicing in that, people coming to Christ all around the world. And that's why missions, that's why we emphasize missions. It's changed lives. And, you know, and changed lives produces changed homes, produces changed villages and cities. And God knows the amount of effect the gospel has upon people's lives. And the number is much higher than that, because the actual numbers never get reported. So we're rejoicing in that. Brother Butch will put out the financial reports next week, and we'll just put them on the table like we've been doing. We had a great month, in missions, great month in all the way around, and the Lord blessed. And so, you know, praise the Lord for that. And just on a note here, in the next week or two, you're going to notice that we're going to wall off the Sunday school area in the front of the auditorium. And because we don't want people wandering around in the Sunday school wing during the services. And the only way to put a stop to that is to put a permanent wall. It'll be a temporary wall for now. And we're going to put a lock on that other door. And only people that have a church key will be able to access that. And that just keeps the nonsense down. I don't know why people want to wander around in the Sunday school rooms during the service, but we got to put a stop to that. And so we're going to put a stop to that. And cameras are on their way. It is a matter of time. We're going to have cameras in every Sunday school room and in the hallways. And whoever's wandering around in them rooms are going to be on camera, and they're going to get a talking to. Right? Because there's no business wandering around the church during the church services. If you come to church, you come to church to hear the preaching, not to wander around the building. Amen. And so we are going to remedy some of the situations. And I'm not being ugly or mean or anything. We just, you know, we come to church to worship, right? Amen. We don't come to church to steal out of the Sunday school rooms. And so we're just going to put an end to that. And that'll solve a lot of the problem. And so you'll notice that in the coming months. And it's just to be protecting the church family. And I would hate for something to happen in one of these rooms when church is going on, right? And so we just got to put an end to that kind of stuff and make sure that the church is secure and that people are safe and that we don't have any problems when it comes to that. All right. Let's have one more song, and then we'll have we'll get right on to the preaching tonight. Turn to page number. You don't have to stand. I will turn to page number 405, the Banner of the Cross.
There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King, as an ensign fair we'll lift it up today, while as ransom ones we sing. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown Him King, toil and sting, 'neath the banner of the cross. Though the foe may rage and gather as the flood, let the standard be displayed, and beneath its folds as soldiers of the Lord, for the truth be not dismayed. Marching on, marching on, for Christ down everything but loss, and to crown Him King, toil and sing, meet the banner of the cross.
Verse 4 now.
When the glory dawns, it drawing very near, it is hastening day by day. Then before our King the foe shall disappear, and across the world shall sway. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss, and to crown Him King, toil and sing, beneath the banner of the cross.
Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. And let me get in my spot here. We are in 2 Corinthians tonight. 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 tonight. I'm going to preach on this thought of triumphing in Christ. Triumphing in Christ. Amen. We are on the winning side, as I said earlier. We are conquerors in Jesus Christ. Thank God the battle was won at Calvary. Amen. The war was won at Calvary. We're still fighting the physical battle down here and the spiritual battle, but hallelujah, we can triumph in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 tonight. And look there in verse number 14. At the end of the chapter, Paul says this. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Thank God, in God we triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved, in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life, who is sufficient for these things. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now we'll take our text again out of verse number 14, where the Apostle Paul made it very clear. He said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the service. Father, I do pray you bless the word tonight. And God, as we're preaching to the child of God tonight, to the Christian, thank God that the victory's already been won. Thank God we're overcomers. And Lord God, the devil's been defeated. And God, we have the victory in Jesus Christ as we sang those songs tonight. And God, help us as we triumph in you, as we live the Christian life, the victorious Christian living that the Bible speaks of. Bless the word and help me to bring it tonight, Father, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Tonight, as we're preaching on this thought, you know, in the world, there are always winners and losers. Is that not the truth? There are always winners and losers. And the biggest losers that the world will ever know is the devil. The devil's a loser. No doubt about it. Satan is a loser. The fallen angels and evil spirits, guess what? They're losers. And can I tell you, lost sinners who die without Jesus Christ are losers. And that is because they're going to lose their own soul. And what a serious thing that is. You know, the devil was once called Lucifer. And he was a light bearer. And he was over the worship of heaven. But you know, when he rebelled against God, he lost something. And when you turn away from God, you're always going to lose something. No doubt about it. You're going to lose something. If you look at me in Ezekiel chapter number 28 tonight, we know that the devil, he lost a lot when he rebelled against God. He lost everything, as a matter of fact. And his name was changed. And instead of being called Lucifer, God gave him a new name called the devil, Satan, the dragon. And because he lost everything in his rebellion against God. If you'll notice Ezekiel 28 and verse number 11, Ezekiel 28, Verse number 11, the Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Thou sealeth up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Remember, the devil was perfect in beauty. And now he's an ugly dragon, a seven-headed dragon. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was like covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day which thou wast created. He probably had seven pipes. That's why he's got seven heads as a dragon. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. He was perfect in beauty. And now he's hideous in his sight. If you saw the devil in his natural appearance that he has now, you'd fall over dead. You wouldn't be able to handle it. It says, "By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee out as profane out of the mouth of God." What is the devil filled with? Violence. What is his children filled with? Violence. What was the devil from the beginning? A liar, a murderer, and a thief. What does his children do? Lie, steal, and kill. "And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of the brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled my sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee." Remember, the devil said, "I'm going to be like God." And God said, "No, you're going to be ashes. You're going to be nothing." And it says in verse 19, "All that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror no more, and never shalt thou be any more." You think about what the devil lost. He lost everything: his light, his love, his loveliness, his loyalty, his location, his leadership, his liberty. And where does the devil end up? In Revelation 20:10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire." The devil is the biggest loser the world's ever known. And it's sad that those who follow him. The devil was cast out of heaven. We know that he was cast out of heaven. We've read Revelation chapter 12. Look at Revelation 12. "And the sad thing was, is misery loves company. And when the devil was cast out, he always takes somebody with him." How sad is that? Revelation 12, and notice what it says in verse number 9. "And the great dragon," right? He's no longer Lucifer. He's no longer the one that's perfect in beauty. "And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Those angels that follow him, that reserved in everlasting chains of fire. You think about that. And then those people that would follow the devil. They had one of these celebrities this week that said she sold her soul to the devil and was going to do it on public TV. The lady who plays Captain Marvel. How deceived could a person be? Anyone that says, "I'm going to follow the devil," they follow him into misery and perdition and destruction of their own lives. I've never seen a happy devil worshiper. I mean, if you look at Charles Manson, who claimed to worship the devil when Satan was his Lord, look what he did. Look what it did for him. Look what it did for his followers. I mean, look what it produced in his life. Nothing but lies and deceit and death and murder. Yeah, he could stare the prosecution down and make their watch stop, but it didn't deliver him from the prison the rest of his life, and it didn't deliver his followers from prison the rest of their life. And let me tell you, it put his soul in a devil's hell. And now he's a loser like his father. Thank God in Christ, we're on the winning side. You think about that. The devil always brings death, destruction, and defeat. What are the rioters bringing to their cities? death, destruction, and defeat. When they camp, they call it a food desert. And when they have a department store desert. And when they have a gas station desert. You say, what does that mean? There's no businesses where they live. And there's no buses to take them where they need to go. And the misery is compounded. People are so stupid, burn down their own livelihoods. You say, why? Because the devil loves misery and destruction. And the devil's guiding these people to make their life even harder than what it is. I like what they did in Philadelphia. They closed the bus. They closed the buses. There ain't going to be no public transportation. So if there's no public transportation, they can't get to where they need to get. How are they going to get there? I hope they bring their cars and then they burn their own cars. That's how stupid they are. But praise the Lord, in Christ Jesus, we have victory, life, and peace. I mean, look at the hatred in these people's faces, and you know they have no peace in their heart. But see, when you're triumphing in Christ, you know, it's a whole lot different. Amen. You know, the devil causes hatred and God causes love. One thing I have in Christ, thank God, God changed my life. Before I got saved, I was filled with wrath and anger and hatred. Boy, and God saved me, and boy, something changed on the inside. You say, why? Because we're conquerors in Jesus Christ. And we have a higher calling now. And there's a love that God places in our hearts for people. Look in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter number 8 tonight. And the Bible tells us what we are in Jesus Christ. Romans 8 and in verse number 31, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? You know, the devil never gave me nothing but trouble. He never gave me nothing but misery and heartache and pain. The devil said, oh, go do this thing. It'll be fun. And all it was misery and destruction. Thank God, God wasn't that way. He gives us good things. He said, no good thing will I withhold from them that love me. God gave me good things. You think about that for a minute. Verse number 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The devil never prayed for me. But the Holy Ghost prays for me. And Jesus Christ makes intercession for me. And he holds me up. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? You know why the martyrs could go to their grave smiling and singing and rejoicing? Because they had Jesus Christ on the inside. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Thank God we're more than conquerors. We are conquerors in Christ Jesus. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God we're conquerors in Christ, and that's eternal. Can I say this? We're conquerors in Christ. And thank God the devil no longer has power over me. You know, when you've conquered in Christ, the devil doesn't have power over you anymore. The Bible says he takes his children at his own will. He takes them captive at his own will. Read it in 1 Timothy. He takes them captive. But let me tell you, the devil doesn't have power over me unless I empower him to have it. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walking about with a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I mean, we don't have to tremble or cower in His presence. You say, why? Because now we claim God's promise. And we are God's children. Every now and then the devil comes around and says, what do? I claim God's promise. I sing at Calvary. Boy, the devil hates that word Calvary. You know why they removed the word Calvary? Appears one time in your Bible. In Luke chapter number 23, verse number 33. That is the only place it appears in your Bible. And every Bible has removed the word Calvary and called it Golgotha, or the place of the skull. You know why? Because the devil trembles at Calvary. I can feel a satanic presence and the power of Satan at my right hand, and all I got to do is sing at Calvary. And man, the devil flees. I've been in houses that were inhabited by the devil. I've been in places that are inhabited by the devil. And you can feel His presence. But can I tell you what? You start singing at Calvary and the devil trembles. You know why? Because he's been defeated. We can claim God's promise and we can sing God's praises. And it'll make the devil flee. What's the Bible say? Resist the devil and he will flee. The devil can't touch us without God's permission. We've read the book of Job. And God puts a hedge about His children. The devil can't get to you. He can't touch you without God's permission. But that doesn't mean He can't tempt us. Does the devil try and tempt us? Oh yeah. We're conquerors in Christ, but the devil tries to lure us away. Does he not? Thank God, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Anytime I want to do something evil, the Lord always makes something happen so that, hey, you don't need to do that. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God who is faithful will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. You're going to do something stupid and God will intervene and say, don't do that, don't do that, you don't have to do that. Don't do it! You say, why? Because we're conquerors in Jesus Christ. We're not slaves to the devil any longer. Thank God. If I'm the only way I can be a slave to the devil is if I want to be, and I don't want to be anymore. Amen. We don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to be a slave to those things, and I'll make mention of before, but if you're an alcoholic, you don't keep beer in your refrigerator. Because that'll cause you to be a slave to sin. Hey, whatever problem it is you have in your life, you remove those things. You remove the devil out of your life. That's why the Bible says don't give place to the devil. Because we're conquerors in Jesus Christ. You know why we couldn't win in Vietnam? Because we gave place to the Viet Cong. We went out and beat them during the day and let them take it back at night. That's all they did. They went out and search and destroy missions, and they came back to camp. And when they came back to camp, they came and took... I mean, how many hills in Vietnam were taken numerous times? Hamburger Hill, how many times did it have to be taken? You say, why? Because they kept giving place to the enemy. You know how you win a war? You take territory and keep it. You know it's the same way in the Christian's life? Hey, God gives you the victory, you take that territory, and you don't give it back to the devil. I have learned a few things in my Christian life. I said, oh no, I'm past that, and I'm not giving that back to you. Thank God we're conquerors in Christ, and the devil doesn't have power over us. Thank God we're conquerors in Christ, and death doesn't have power over us. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible makes it clear, hey, that death no longer has power over you and I. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 15, the Bible says this, It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery, we shall all sleep, we shall all be changed. In the moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on corruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is the victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The lost world will never understand what I'm about to say, but can I tell you that death is not our foe? Death doesn't have to be feared, but instead death is our best friend. You say, why? It's the vehicle that God used to sweep us through the gates of splendor. I told you that man who was dying, and he says, death, I feared you all my life, and now only to realize that you're my friend. Hey, we got the victory in Jesus Christ. The Christian's not fearing death. The Christian's not trembling at the moment of death. At the moment of the death, the Christian is entered into a new world. And they're seeing the heavenly world that they're going to. I know why the sinner trembles. Because they're seeing where they're going. And they're seeing the fire. Man, you ought to read some of them Hindu books that Hindus have put out on death. And in their books, it shows the demons and devils of hell chaining someone and dragging their soul down to a devil's hell. That's why they tremble when it comes to death. That's why they're terrified when it comes to death. And they themselves, and when all of their ceremonies, they paint flames on their bodies. And all of their worship is connected around fire. You ever looked at the Buddhist? They always got candles lit, right? They cremate. It's always connected around fire. And death is so sad because they don't have the victory. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. And thank God we're conquerors over the devil, we're conquerors over death, and we're conquerors over the destruction of hell. I love saying this statement because it hair lifts the devil and hair lifts religious people. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. Amen. That'll make people mad. You say, why? Because I've been born into the kingdom of God. You say, that's a license to sin. No, that's a license to live righteously. Amen. People ever get a hold of that? Hey, I sin more than I want to. I don't want to sin at all. Because Jesus Christ is in me and I got the victory. I'm secure in Jesus Christ. I have eternal, everlasting life and I'm never going to perish. Look in John chapter number 10. And I know there's that crowd out there. You got to do this. You got to do that. And, you know, and no one, they you know, they discount the whole Bible. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. I know I have everlasting eternal life. John 10 and in verse number 27. And it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I mean, God holds the whole world in his hand and he holds me also. Amen. Think about that for a minute. You talk about having the victory. Thank God. We are conquerors in Jesus Christ. The lost world will never understand that because they're trying to work their way to heaven. I talked to a man this week, and he said, Pastor, he says, and he was I couldn't figure out what he really was. Whether he was Japanese, Chinese, or Korean, I couldn't figure it out. And I know that he was Catholic in his teaching and belief. And he said, Pastor says, so do you still serve the Mass every Sunday? And I said, as a matter of fact, we don't. I said, think about it for a minute. And I said his name. And I said, think about it. When the priest holds up the wafer and says, behold, the Eucharist, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And I said, can you eat the Son of God for salvation? And he smiled real big because he knows that's not. Come on, be real. You don't have to eat Jesus to go to heaven. You don't put him in your stomach. You put him in your heart. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, listen, I prayed and asked Christ to come in my heart. And my life was changed. I said, my mother and father always said, you put your good over here and your bad over here. And whichever one weighs more is where you go. I said, well, then everybody's going to hell. Thank God, I don't have to put my good in one hand and my bad in the other. Thank God, I'm trusting the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me from all sin. Amen. You know what the man said? He said, true, Pastor. I told that to my uncle, Lisa's uncle, and man, his wife got so mad, she told him, don't you ever come to church again and take the Mass. She got so mad. But the truth is the truth. And the devil wants to blind people to the truth. Thank God in Christ, it's not about what you eat. It's what you receive into your heart. We are conquerors in Christ. And our conquest in Christ is temporal. You say, what's our conquest? You know, we battle with the world and the flesh and the devil every day. People say, well, I don't battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's because they already got you. We battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Every day we do battle with them. That's why John wrote in his epistle in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. And this is where the battle for the Christian comes in. It's where you and I have our daily struggle with who is going to win this battle. It says, love not the world in verse 15, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, worldliness. It's a real problem in the Christian's life. And we're told to love not the world. What's the problem in Christianity today? People loving the world. Why do you think they brought the world into the church? It's because what people love. Hey, they love the rock and roll concert. They love the dark lights. They love the dancing in the aisle walls. They love the fornicating and the meeting in hotel rooms after church is over. And don't tell me they don't do that. That is exactly what they do. You say, what is it? It's worldliness is what it is. Well, thank God for coronavirus. There ain't no more Dunkin' Donuts in the church. There ain't no more Starbucks in the church. And there ain't no more nothing in the church because of coronavirus. God help us when you kick the world out of the church. Kick the world out of our lives. Hey, you think about what the world is. It's a daily battle, and the world is dirty as it can be. You can't turn on the TV now and see something that's not same sex. Everywhere you go, you see it. You see it in the department stores now. I mean, everywhere you go, you see this perversion and wickedness that's taking place across our nation. Can I tell you something? The world, the flesh, and the devil can be defeated. We can triumph over and be overcomers over these things. You say, how do you do it? by giving ourselves to Christ. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. How do you overcome those things? The Bible says you resist the devil. You submit yourself to God, and the devil will flee. We know that's what the Bible says. Look in James chapter, look in James 1, and then we'll look in James 4. But the book of James, chapter number 1, we know where lust comes from. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it comes from the devil. It doesn't come from God, it comes from the devil. Look in verse number 12 of James chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted thee any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bring forth death. Hey, anytime I ever sinned, it's because I wanted to sin. You say, why do people sin? Because they want to sin. James chapter number 4 makes it very clear in verse number 7 or verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee to you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. How do you overcome lust and pride and the lust of the flesh? By the love of God, by loyalty to God, by looking to God and His Word. Psalms, what does Psalms 119 say in verse 9? Wherewithal shall young men cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You get more of God's Word in you. And you look to Jesus Christ. Not lingering in the place of temptation. Joseph loved God. But let me tell you, when Mrs. Potiphar came along, Joseph said, no doubt she was a beautiful woman. And no doubt, being a 17, 18-year-old man, he was tempted. Why do you think he ran out of the house? You got to run from temptation. You don't play with temptation. You don't hang around with temptation. You don't converse with temptation. You get away from it. What did Joseph do? He refused to be with her or lie next to her. You got to get away from sin. That's why when people get saved, they got to change their friends. They got to change the places they frequent. That's right. You got to change some things. And usually when you change your friends and change where you frequent, you also change your fashion. You quit looking like the devil's crowd. Why did David get in trouble? Because he lingered on that housetop. And he indulged himself in eye candy. You know how strong pornography is? Pornography is a stronghold in people's lives. And the amount of pastors and preachers and teachers and evangelists and politicians and school teachers and policemen and firemen. They just caught one of them cardinals with all that child porn on his computers. They wonder why they have a problem in the Catholic Church and with their child molestation, because they feed themselves with it. They feed their lust is what they do. You can't feed the devil. You can't feed your flesh. You indulge yourself in sin and you'll be in sin before it's through. Nike's got a new saying now. It was just do it. Now it's just don't do it. I could have given them that a long time ago. What's the Bible say? Just don't do it. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. It's not hard to figure out. Don't do it. (laughs) You have to laugh at people's stupidity. Just don't do it. Don't entertain yourself with it. Don't indulge in it. Escape it is what you have to do. If I'm getting tempted by something, I got to get out of there. And the flesh is powerful. You know, I see a guy passing cigars out, I got to get away from him. Because I'll want one. I'll tell you that right now, I'll want one. They're passing out champagne, I got to get away from them because I'll want it. They're passing out pornography, oh no, I got to get away from that, I'll want it. Anything the devil's passing out, I need to get away from him. And I'm not the only one that has that problem. Everyone in this building has that problem. But see, we're conquerors in Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, thank God I haven't given into that stuff. Thank God I have been at you. I am more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Man, there's times I want to cuss. And I said, I got to get away from this situation because I don't cuss anymore. The only place I cuss is in my mind, and I got to get away before it comes out my mouth. Because the madder I get, I said, I got to move away from this situation. That's not who I am. That's who I was. And I don't want to be that person anymore. Because I'm a conqueror in Jesus Christ. You say, what's the key? The key is our confidence that we have in Christ. Where does our strength come from? It's not from the arm of flesh. I'll tell you that right now. We don't get our strength from our physical man. We get our strength from our spiritual man, the inner man, in Christ Jesus. Our sufficiency and our strength has got to be from Him. You say, why? Because people will let us down. And we'll let other people down. People say, well, you know, I'm better than that. You're not better than that. You're not better than that. Nobody is better than that. Well, you know, I could never do. No. You are capable of anything. Given the right circumstance. Peter didn't plan on denying the Lord, did he? But given the right circumstance, he cursed people out and said, blanky blank, I don't know the man. But see, when you get around the fires of the wicked, what do you think is going to happen? You get fellowship with that wrong crowd, what do you think is going to happen? You get in that den of iniquity, and what do you think is going to happen? Apostle Paul was the greatest Christian ever lived. And we say that because there's great Christians. And we probably don't even know the greatest Christians ever lived or have even heard of them. Because there's been some great Christians down through history that God has used. Look in Philippians chapter number 3. We'll bring this thing to a close tonight. Philippians chapter number 3. And notice what it says. Philippians 3. Paul said this in verse number 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul said, I got to let go of some things. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered a loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Hey, you got to let go of some things in your life to succeed in the Christian race. We're conquerors in Jesus Christ, but you can't hold on to your past. You got to let it go. You can't hold on to those chains of sin that the devil tries to throw around you. You got to let them go. And them chains of sin are powerful. And people get hooked up in them chains of sin. But you got to let them things go. You can't be living in the past. What was Lot's wife's problem? She was living in the past. And she looked back and became a pillar of salt. Our future's in front of us, not behind us. And boy, we can think about the past every now and then. We can reminisce. You know, you reminisce about the past. And it's funny. When you talk about some things, it's funny. And you laugh about it. But it's wicked as it can be. You know, it's funny how you just remember the good things and all them bad things that went along with it. That's the truth. What did the people of Egypt say? What did the Israelites say? Oh, we remember the leeks and the leeks and the melons and the fish. But they didn't remember the hard bondage and labor and misery and rape and murder that the Egyptians put upon them. They're out there in the wilderness heading for the promised land, and all they can think about is the leeks and the melons and the fish and the flesh pots that we did freely eat. They didn't freely eat anything. The Egyptians made them serve with rigor. And the stripes on their back were a testimony to it. A life of sin is the worst life a person can ever live. Our future's in front of us. Read what Paul says. Read what he says. Look there in verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You keep your eyes on where you're going. And that's to heaven. Brother Vic, there was a black singer called Wilson Pickett. And Brother Vic, his nickname was, they called him Pickett, because his last name was Wilson, Victor Wilson. And all his friends knew him by the name Pickett. And Wilson Pickett was famous for getting drunk. And Brother Vic, in his past life, they called him Pickett. He was famous for the same thing. Famous for fighting. Famous for getting drunk. Famous for all the drugs. Famous for all these things. You know, when he got saved, he said, let me tell you, my name is not Pickett anymore. My name is Brother Vic. And I'm not living in the past anymore. I'm not frequenting them places anymore. And hallelujah, I have left all that behind. Amen. And I'm not going back there. You say, how do you be conquering Christ? You leave that mess behind. And you move forward with where God wants you to go. I asked a friend years ago, he'd gotten saved and he'd been saved a year and a half. And I said, hey, brother, did you ever go witness to them people? He said, Brother Chris, I cannot go back there. I'm not strong enough to go back there and witness to them people. If I go back there and sit in that car, I'll be doing the same things I used to do. I am looking forward to Jesus Christ. Years later, he was able to go and witness to that crowd. But he had to grow in Christ before he could do that. They had a man at the pool apart. I was trying to witness him and tell him about Jesus. And I told you, he died from a fentanyl overdose. He'd been clean for 5-6 years. And he was finally had a life again with his wife and his children. And he hit a low spot and they found him in the bathroom with a needle in his arm. They hit him with a Narcan and he survived. But he did it again 2 days later and he died. You say, why? He's in the wrong place with the wrong people doing the wrong thing. Let me tell you, our life is in front of us, not behind us. We leave all that garbage behind you. Don't dig up them dead dogs. Look to the author and the finisher of your faith, which is Jesus Christ. Paul said in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the Father. We got to look forward. You say, what are you looking for? I'm looking for the trumpet to sound. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ is going to come for His church to carry us to heaven forever. You say, why? Because we're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. Preacher said this, and I thought it was hilarious. He said, when he dies, he said, if he starved to death and was dying, and he died on the way up to heaven, the devil asked him, "How?" He said, what happened to you? He said, I choked on a T-bone. Brother Homer always used to say that, right? I choked on a T-bone. Hey, I ain't giving place to the devil. And I'm sure not going to listen to his lies. Oh, it'll be fun. Yeah, for about 5 minutes. And then it'll be hell on earth the rest of your life. Look to Jesus Christ. Give Him place in your life. If we give place to Jesus Christ, we wouldn't worry about giving place to the devil because there wouldn't be no room. You make room for Jesus and exclude the devil completely. It can be done. And you can have the happiest life in the... Christianity is the happiest life there is. Because we're conquerors in Jesus Christ. Don't give place to the devil. He's always knocking on the door. You say, who's that out there? That's the devil out there. Don't open the door. Don't let him in. Because the devil's knocking on this door, but I tell you what, Jesus is knocking on this one. Open the door for Jesus and don't give place to the devil. Let's stand for prayer. Miss Susan, you come, just play something tonight. For those that are home tonight in your homes, don't give place to the devil. Kick the devil out of your house. If the computer's got to go, kick it out. If the cable's got to go, cut the cable. Hey, whatever it is that's got to go, don't give place to the devil. Get the Word of God in your heart and make room for Him. Let's pray. Father, I pray You bless the Word tonight. And God, we are victors in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The victory's been won. And God, we're just listening for the shout. Lord, for the shout of the archangel, for the trumpet to sound, when the dead in Christ are raised. Father, and we which are alive remain are caught up together to meet You in the clouds, in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. God, we are listening for that shout. God, bless our hearts as we live for You. And God, to live that victorious Christian life that I preached about tonight. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Music's going to play. If you don't have the victory, get the victory in Jesus Christ.